I love family. God is awesome. So many good things have been happening inside this gathering this morning. It's just so inspiring to see that in your hearts, in your lives, to hear it in your voices, to see it in the leaders up here. The prayers, brothers, were powerful. Joseph, thank you for bringing us back to Christ and focusing on him and God's love. Wow. Heavenly Father, please help us. It's a complicated, painful life that we walk through at times. You call us to rejoice always. You call us to be constant in hope, to be strong in faith and in Christ. Father, you are our strength. You are our purpose. You give us the greatest purpose that any humans have ever had, to represent Christ and to teach others how to follow him. Oh, Father, thank you. We're not adequate to the job. We don't deserve the place, but we'll do it. We need your help. We need each other's encouragement. We need unity. Help us, guide us, teach us, Father, and help this lesson to be part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about growth, growing to maturity, to be more like Christ, that we don't just come and go through the motions, that every day we live and breathe, we need to grow and change, and we cry out. I've been encouraging us to have this thought: Father, please help me change. I need to change. I need to be different. And as long as we have that as our goal, that we're not going to stay where we are, there's hope. When you park yourself and say, hey, that's just who I am, leave me alone, that's not healthy on a bunch of levels. And we've been talking about this verse, Proverbs 3, verse 5, this is part of verse 5, do not lean on your own understanding. That is such an easy and a common mistake, is that we think we've got something figured out, and we sort of park ourselves there and say, well, I know what I'm doing, or I know how that works, or I know what you're thinking. That's one of my big mistakes. You might be accurate in what somebody else is thinking, but you don't know. You do not know. We have to be humble before each other and be humble before God. And that's the point of today's lesson, is to growing and understanding the power of humility. So we just read together Psalm 53, which powerfully starts with, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Wow. That looking at the creation, you cannot dive into the details of the creation around us without saying, there's a power and a force and a design behind this. You cannot look at relationships and say, there's a purpose behind good and evil. This didn't just happen. I say this many times. I think about the cheetah or the lion or the hawk. You know, the hawk swoops down and grabs up a squirrel running across your backyard. He doesn't go back to the squirrel family and apologize for eating that. The moral drive of our lives, that there is good and there is evil, are clear in humans' lives. And that has to come from outside. There has to be an objective point that creates that in us. It's not true between two different rocks. It's not true between two different mountains or a stream that wears down the mountain. It's not true between the hawk and the squirrel or the lion and the gazelle. But it is true between two humans. There is a right and a wrong. And so all of these things, and many more, by the way, you go, there's a standard outside of us. There's a power greater than this universe. There is a purpose in this universe. And of course, you can go through a long list of why the Bible is reliable as well. For this statement to be very clearly true, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. To see if there are any, are there any who understand? Are there any who want me? They've all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. I know people who do good. That's not what that verse means. It doesn't mean that no human ever does anything good ever. In fact, the Bible repeatedly says so-and-so did these good things, or they were called to do good things. We do participate and we do good. The point is, back to the beginning of that verse, we have all rebelled. We've all fallen away. We have all been self-directed and selfishly directed. And we don't end up in the column of doing good. None of us, that's what the point is. Not even one ends up in that column. Confused by the verse? Well, don't lean on your own understanding. Be humble before the word and say, you know what? My selfishness kicks in every day. My pride kicks in every day. My laziness kicks in every day. And many other things. You see, there's power in humility. When we say, I don't know, we're stronger than when we say, I know how that is. It may be true that you understand something or know something. That's not what I'm picking on. It's that we need to step away from our own understanding and say, I need my Heavenly Father. I need His Word. And there's a lot I don't know about human relationships, about right and wrong, about holiness, about God, about Christ, about my own weakness. We talked about these things in our maturity pathway, knowing God, learning God's word, seeking growth and correction. And the fourth one we listed there was growing genuine humility. There is power in humility. Humility is easily and often misunderstood. People make fun of it as being weak and meek and insignificant and docile. But actually, humility is strong, very strong. It's not weak. It's not cowardliness. In fact, it's courage to walk in humility. It's not lacking confidence. It's being confident in the right things. Back to Psalm 53. So Psalm 53 wraps up with this verse. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. What an interesting call. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When God restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice. Let Israel be glad. And so that's quite a range. That's quite a range for one little psalm. This is one of David's psalms, that it would start out with the fool, and it says in his heart, there is no God, and end up with a cry of salvation. God, would you bring, you know he's inspired to say this exactly this way, would you bring salvation out of Zion? Zion was a hill in Jerusalem and has become to represent not just the hill, but a fortress that was on that hill, a place of strength for Jerusalem, therefore for Israel, therefore Israel. That's why Zionism and Zion issues today still refer to Israel because of that hill, because of that fortress, because Scripture says, out of my people, out of the strength of their fortress, God has his purpose. You know, Psalms aren't usually sequenced. The third Psalm doesn't necessarily connect directly to what the second Psalm says, nor the 14th, just, you know, is connected to the 15th necessarily. But Psalm 54, you're in your Bible. Let's go down to the next one. God, save me. We just said salvation. Didn't we just end 53? We let salvation come out of Zion. God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. Oh God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. That's humility before our Heavenly Father. God, save me. Please hear my prayer. You're my helper. You're the one I trust in, Father. God may let you be clobbered, or he may jerk you out of the way and keep you on a gentler pathway. And both will happen in your life. You will be clobbered by certain things. But in Christ, he'll bring you protection and salvation. At the very least, which is infinitely great, the least thing he'll do is give you eternal salvation in Christ. But he also hears and connects with us in this life, and he gives us strength to deal with the mess of this life and the pain of this life. In fact, allows us to walk in joy in it. God is my helper, he says. Oh my. So we've used these verses in our previous lessons. And this is interconnecting with that. This cry of David in Psalm 54. Oh, by the way, Psalm 54 was written when David's enemies were threatening him by undermining him, is the explanation at the beginning of that. It's even written in the notes. These are old, old, old Bible notes written about the Psalms, and we get it printed in our Bibles today. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. He's your strength. He's your refuge. He's your purpose. He's your rescuer. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. How high can you lift yourself up? I don't know. Not very. Your Heavenly Father, though, he can lift you up. Infinitely. He will exalt you, which is why we trust him. Back to Psalm 53 and the way it wrapped up. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When God restores the fortunes of his people, did salvation come out of Zion? Has it happened? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Through the power of humility. The power of humility. Salvation came to us out of Israel, a tiny nation, a nation that was repeatedly clobbered. In fact, after these words were written over the next several hundred years, it was destroyed and wiped out by one group of people after another group of people after another group of people. And you would say, what? There's hardly an Israel left. The Persians, the Medes, one people after Babylonians, one people after another, the Egyptians have marched over this country and they got spread all around the Mediterranean. There was hardly much of an Israel left. And you'd say, this doesn't look like this is going to be answered. Until what God wrote to Isaiah comes true. Would you turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 6? Wrote through Isaiah, I should say. Whoops, excuse me. Isaiah chapter 9. That got typed upside down. You know, I can make the most obvious mistakes. Every day I make mistakes. My brain is getting tired, I call it, and it's something to do with old age. Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 1. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious. And that's the transition we just talked about. Contempt from armies, foreign evil armies marching over the land, but it's going to become glorious. By the way of the sea and on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee and the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. They are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, you have broken in the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for fire. I'm going to stop those armies. I'm going to stop those boots from marching over your land. I'm going to stop you from being clobbered over and over again. And then this verse. See, we don't usually read it in context. We usually just start in verse 6. We usually just start in verse 6 because that's the fun part. That other part is painful, to think of the garments rolled in blood. For a child will be born to us. What a contrast. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Man, this is powerful. We're talking about a little one. What's the youngest baby in here? My grandson turned a year recently, and my grandnephew turned a year. All my little children are old. I mean, they're a year old already. Got a little bitty one in here? There you go. Drew and Helen are holding theirs in their lap. To us a child is born, a son is given. There is nothing in the human sphere quite as humble as a child. A child cannot survive on its own at all. It has to have care. You'd think in that environment God would send his son on the back of a powerful horse leading a powerful army to wipe out all the enemies. Well, he's going to do that someday. But he says, I'm starting with a baby. The most humble part of human life. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name, the name of the baby, the name of the baby, the child, shall be Wonderful Counselor. The baby is called Mighty God. Lean not on your own understanding, right? This is humbling stuff. This is not the way we would do it. If we were God's advisor, we would not recommend this course. The baby is called Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Because real peace will be made. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God is intent on this. He's zealous for this. And what he does here in this child will last forever and ever and ever. The baby was born. The baby came. Now, there's a reason we don't have Christmas trees in the foyer and Christmas decorations and the rest of the things, because we read the early church, and the early church did nothing to celebrate the birth in that sense. There was no special congregational celebration of the birth of Christ. But the teaching of the birth of Christ is very clear. And the rejoicing at the birth of Christ is very clear. And so what I love to do with this season is to say, isn't it great that at least in identity, the world is acknowledging that the Son of God came to this earth? Yes. Amen. The world is saying God sent his Son as a baby. Look at Luke chapter 2, and we'll wrap up the lesson there. I'm trying to keep our lessons more disciplined so we don't go on and on. Because you know I can go on and on. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Remember, a fool says in his heart, there's no God. This is being given to us in an exact historical context. This isn't some once upon a time story. This is a specific historical event with a certain a political structure around. This was the first census, verse 2, taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. You can look it up, but there aren't any good records from exactly like this. Everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. This is not a once upon a time story. This is a historical fact, an event recorded specifically at a certain place at a certain time by a certain non-Christian, non-Jewish governor and government that established this census. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged with him and who was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. Excuse me for getting emotional. This is magnificent. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. It says terribly frightened, but same thing. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior. Salvation will come out of Zion." In the face of unbelief, salvation will come out of Zion. "Who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And when the angels had gone away from them and into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, and that the Lord has made known to us." Wow. God came to this earth in the most humble form, in the most humble place that a human can be, as a brand new firstborn, just birthed baby. And in that, you can go back into the story and figure out why. There didn't seem to be any family support there. Joseph and Mary are alone. There wasn't any monetary support there. They're out in the barn. There wasn't any physical support there. Nobody else is around, it doesn't seem. The only visitors the baby gets are strangers who are shepherds. There's a lot of telling things in that. Layer upon layer upon layer, this is humility. And this is our encouragement to embrace humility. I'm not much except in God's hands. And in Him, you can do anything. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, right? Anything God needs done, not anything, but anything God needs done, you can do. If He wants you to do it, you can do it. We submit ourselves to God, and we grab onto humility out of an example that Jesus gave us, that God gave us in Christ. Jesus came submissive. He submitted Himself to His Heavenly Father always, and He submitted us, Himself to those around Him, because He died for us and them. It's not the way we would have advised God to do it, but when we look back, we're stunned. We're astonished. It's amazing. So let us be men and women who look to grow in humility. Real, not the social humility, I can't do anything. Not that humility, but Christ's humility. Whatever God needs done, I can do and I will do. In joy and love and confidence. It's not my life. My life is not about me. Do not lead on your own understanding. James 4, submit yourselves therefore to God. It's not about me. It's not about us. All our lives, the best use, the sharpest use, the most powerful use of our life is for His glory. And that's a pathway to continue to grow. Thank you so much for your attention. If there's any here who have not been baptized into Christ, or if you have any other need that you'd like to let us know about, we'd love to help. God's great. We're clumsy. We mess up, but we'll work with Him and help you, whatever your situation is. Whatever your need be, please come forward and let us know where we stand and sing.